say?
I think I know why men don't like watching women playing football.
Do you? Go on.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they're actually quite good.
Oh, yeah, the England team are absolutely brilliant, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they are. And I think, because they stand a better chance of winning their tournaments, I think the vast majority of blokes in this country go, nah, it's not proper, though, is it? It's not proper football.
Do you think it's spite?
I do think it's spite. Jealousy and spite.
I never understood why women's football doesn't get higher ratings, considering men, you know, it's women and it's a beautiful game, so therefore men should go, it's the perfect combo.
Yeah,
but might be don't. Controversial for me to say that, but I've been in pubs where the World Cup has been on and everyone's been there cheering it on, and then a couple of weeks later they did the Women's World Cup and everyone's actually got their back to the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what's wrong with you?
That the last Women's World Cup was our best tournament for England. In any football tournament, that was the best one.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. But yeah, a lot of blokes, I reckon it's because they're not scared, but intimidated.
Oh,
emasculated.
Emasculation's a great word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, by the way, welcome to the Sunshine Radio podcast number 4. It's Ollie and me. Neither one of us in this entire company, well, I think we're both the people that know the least about football.
Whoa.
Oh, just me then.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Oh, you do, do you?
I love football.
Oh, right. Oh.
Hence why I felt qualified to give my opinion on women in football.
Me, I know nothing.
Oh, mate.
And I'll tell you why. It goes back to being a child, right? When I was 5 years old, it would be like Swap Shop would be on. A child of the 70s at that age. And my dad would come in, if he wasn't working on shift, and he'd go, right, that's it, TV's mine now for the next 5 hours. And he'd sit down in his armchair and he'd watch Grandstand from start to finish.
Wow.
Only getting up to make a cup of tea or go to the loo. And that would be him, suddenly no more fun, like Mr. Lard,
serious
sat there, watch serious sport now, yeah. Mm. And it's almost like, don't be in the room, you're distracting me, get out.
Wow.
So my mum would, he's not a bad man, he's a lovely man. But that was his thing, Grandstand.
Yeah.
And it helped that he went to school with Frank Boff, so it was like, yeah.
He was qualified.
Oh, yeah, that's it. So my mum would take me shopping into town. Mm. And if I was good and I behaved myself, I could get a Matchbox car on the way home.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
so
I could
you played
get to
it
choose
to your
from the carousel in the shop, yeah.
Yeah.
So, therefore, Grandstand equals dad becomes dull equals therefore sport equals dull.
Oh, I see.
So it was ingrained in me from 5, you see.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Formula One. I like snooker. I love Six Nations. Football? No.
Wow.
Nope.
It's funny because when I was younger, I was the opposite in that I would just be dragged along to any old football match or tournament or anything like that. Ended up playing football. I started at under nines. Clearly was really good at it, hence why I'm now stood here, not on the pitch at Wembley.
Oh, that was irony, was it? Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Because
right,
that's how good I was.
Yeah.
And then under six, I was the top goal scorer for 2 seasons running. Because I was up front.
Did you run around and pull your shirt over your head?
No, I didn't. No one wants to see that.
No, I did that accidentally the other day when we
yes,
did bullseye.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I got very excited. Being the non-sports person, getting a bullseye.
It was good, though. It was good. But, yeah, so I did that. And then, I only really follow now the tournaments, because I can't really be bothered.
Oh, yeah, I'll cheer on England. Yeah, it used to be great when you were in a pub.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I worked in Wales I worked in Mid Wales, right, in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And fair play to everybody in Mid Wales, all supported England, World Cup, big screen in the pub. The pub was packed, atmosphere was terrific. Used to love that tournament stuff.
Yeah.
You knew they were never going to win and get through, but it was just a great, great moment. And everybody there was supporting England. It was nice to see that in Wales.
Yeah, it can be a really nice community of fans, but also it can be horrible. It can be horrible. But one thing I do think was great was seeing the support for Christian Eriksen at the start of the tournament this time round.
Yes.
Because no one had anything bad to say. It was all just positive. And I think that was very powerful.
The fact that, you know, a defibrillator was used really brought those to the fore. And, of course, a lot of phone boxes now got defibrillators. So it's been great for people understanding that they can help in a situation like that.
Absolutely. And particularly around our patch as well. It's very rural, so having a community defibrillator somewhere in a village or in a phone box or something like that is so, so important, isn't it?
Yeah. The phone box in my dad's village has got a defibrillator in it and a lending library.
Oh, I see.
Some books in there as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the ones, there's one in, I don't know, is it Hull, possibly, that they've turned into the world's smallest disco.
Really?
Yeah.
And amazing.
And but they do it for charity. You put 10p or a pound into the slot or whatever, and it'll play one song. All the lights in the top of it will just go mad and everything.
That's amazing.
And that money goes to a charity.
Oh, brilliant.
So you rave in there on your own.
That's awesome. That's awesome. To be fair, that's the way forward for clubbing, I think.
Well, yes.
Rave on your own.
It's also self-isolation.
It is, yeah. It is. Just have loads of them in a line.
Yeah, don't touch the sides, though, and make sure you hand wash before you go in and rave on your own.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Anyway, we managed to talk 5 minutes about football. That wasn't where what we were going to talk about this week, was it?
No.
It was staycations.
Yeah, it's very well-used buzzword at the moment, isn't it? Staycation.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody this week complained that we'd use the word staycation on our Facebook page. And going, well, that's just staying at home. Well, no, it's not going abroad is the general populist thing. You know, we're just going with the populist word. Don't pick holes. It's not worth it.
Exactly. We're staying in the country. That's the idea, isn't it?
And I'll tell you what I've been watching on Channel 5 is Susan Calman going around all the British seaside resorts every night. That's been real fun, that.
She's brilliant. I love Susan Calman.
Yeah.
One of my favourite memories of going on holiday was when I was younger, going to Newquay in Wales.
Yeah,
absolutely loved it. And then going on a boat and going around all the dolphins and all that.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I've never been to either Newquay, Wales or Newquay, Cornwall.
No, I don't believe that.
You can.
You go to Cornwall a lot though, don't you?
Yeah, but never Newquay.
Wow.
And Mrs. Mark goes, well, it's going to be, it's too popular, it's going to be like overrun with people, it's too bucket and spadey. When we go to Cornwall, we go looking for the isolated coves and things like that, not where it's all ice cream and buckets and spades, unless we're going to St. Ives. So we'll go there. Go on, sneeze.
No, it's gone.
Oh,
I made the move and it's gone.
It'll come back in about 30 seconds and catch
it.
So it tends to be around St. Ives we go, and down the Lizard and down there. And
around Mullion and all that.
Yes. I've never been to Mevagissey. I want to go to Mevagissey.
Ah, see, we went to a place called Kynance Cove once, and it was stunning. It's a National Trust place, and it's absolutely beautiful. But it's not far from the Lizard.
It's close, yes, that's it. Yeah, with a K, Kynance.
That's
as well,
the one.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's it.
Incredibly sunburned.
Yeah, and Cadgwith.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a proper little fishing village. And even though tourists come and go, there's only ever about 10 at any one point. So it doesn't feel overrun, and the fishermen are just going about their business.
Yeah,
and it's just something really sweet about that.
Absolutely.
But also Pembrokeshire. We went to Pembrokeshire last year. Picked a really good time to go in September when they'd lifted the restrictions before they came back down again, and we went down to Pembrokeshire and went to Barrafundle Bay.
Okay.
Which at one point was ranked in the top 10 beaches in the world.
Oh, right.
Don't think it is currently.
Yeah.
But it's still beautiful, mind you. It's not covered in litter now or anything. But it's golden sands. But you have to walk over a cliff about half a mile to get to it from where the nearest car park is.
Yeah.
Which is at a cafe, which is going, ooh, cash money,
absolutely,
everybody.
Very captive audience.
Yeah. So we were naughty, actually. We used the parking ticket from the previous car park we've been in, and I said, we'll just gamble it.
And it was fine.
Yeah, we got away with
it. We're not advising that. Not condoning that.
Please don't copy what I do. Everyone's done it.
Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah,
of course they are.
Yeah, got away with that.
That's nice. That is
but,
nice.
But yeah, Pembrokeshire, absolutely love the beaches there. Just fantastic. But I don't know. I mean, what is your favourite? Because I do love a bucket and spade resort myself.
Yeah.
What is your favourite bucket and spade resort in the UK?
In the UK? Yeah. Well, I haven't really got much to go on. Because the places we have been are all pretty much the same. We went there year after year after year. Prah Sands in Cornwall is stunning.
And it's got a bar there as well.
Yes,
again, we never got to go there.
Ah.
But we chatted some people that moved there from Evesham and said, oh, we spend our, you know, when we haven't got any work to do, we go down Prah Sands.
Yeah, Prah Sands is beautiful. Mm. It's getting a little bit more touristy, but that's only helping the shops and all the local amenities and everything. So things are improving there.
Yeah.
I just don't want it to get too big that everyone then flocks down there and it's ruined.
Yes.
But beautiful beach, no stones. It's all completely golden sand. It's it's perfect. It's perfect. What about you?
Blackpool.
Blackpool. Yeah, fair play. Fair play.
I did say bucket and spade resort.
You did. You did.
And there's so much to do, even when it's raining, because it's always raining these days. Up there.
Well, it is the north.
Yeah. I love Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. And then back in the day, we used to have boys' weekenders up there.
Mm.
And at one point, we were going up 4 times a year.
Really?
Yeah. Every bank holiday, we'd be up there. And you do all the Pleasure Beach and everything in the daytime, go up the tower and everything. The clubbing scene was second only to London at that point. Right at the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s, they had all the best clubs up there.
Blackpool was the place to go,
it was the place to go, yeah. Mm. And then people suddenly started going to Ibiza. you know, the plane flights got cheap enough.
Yeah.
And people were like coming back with these stories of, oh yeah, Ibiza was great, or went to Manumission and
it.
BCMs. That was the one in Magaluf, BCMs. Everyone came back and everybody started going over there, and then the clubbing scene in Blackpool died, and then it suddenly became international.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had some fantastic weekends up there in Blackpool and some holidays. It's probably the resort in the UK I've been to the most, and it's still fun. Yes, it knows it's cheap and cheerful and tacky, but that's its charm.
That's the charm. Yeah, that's it. You don't go up to Blackpool and expect 5-star hotels and immaculate.
They've got one now.
Have they?
Well, it opens at the end of this year.
Really?
On the prom. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where the nightclub used to be that I used to go to. It's now this big hotel. They bulldozed it.
But you don't expect all that luxury and everything. You know it's going to be cheap, it's going to be cheerful, tacky, but just have fun with it.
Well, that's it. It's fun. Built for fun. Used to be
exactly.
Their strapline. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There we go. Perfect.
Not been to Brighton.
I've been to Brighton, and to be honest, overrated.
Oh, you say that opinion. Because we've booked a week down in Brighton in September.
Oh, sorry. Well, it depends what you're into, but there was very little there that I thought, oh, yeah, I could live here. I'd enjoy it.
Well, it hasn't got a beach. It's got stones.
Exactly.
It's got rocks, man.
It's got rocks and some tight, narrow streets with shops in, and that's about it.
Yeah, very classy. But I said to Mrs. Mark the other day, you're Victorian of that era,
mm-hmm.
all right? And you're deciding where you're going to locate your town, you know, your settlement and how it grows. Why did Brighton grow on the worst beach in the UK?
Yeah.
Why wasn't it like, oh, we'll just move it a mile further down. We'll settle a mile further down where there's sand.
Yeah.
No, where it's all like stones.
Plonk it there, and then people moved out of London to live there.
Mm.
And then commute into London. I would just stay in London.
Yeah.
To be like, honest. I know it's the sea, but...
Another place is Llandudno.
Right.
So again, the same sort of beautiful architecture, Regency and Victoriana and all of that.
Yeah.
Rock Beach. You know, Lewis Carroll wrote Alice in Wonderland up there, you know,
yeah.
On the rocks.
Just, it's brilliant, isn't it? That's the most British thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely place, lovely town. We'll build it on a rocky beach.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's it.
Perfect.
You need some, what do you call them? They're made of wood. And you can never put them up properly. Deck chairs.
I was going to say windbreaker.
You need deck chairs on a rocky beach like that.
Yeah,
because you're not going to lie on a towel.
Correct.
Deck chairs are making a comeback.
Are they?
Mm.
Well, in parks.
In fact, they hadn't been on the beaches of Blackpool since, I think, 1996.
Yeah.
And they bought like 30,000 of them.
Really?
To put them back on the beach now.
I suppose the tourism trade in the UK this year is going to be huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely massive. Mm. So, yeah.
And I suddenly realised it's something about that picture postcard look where you've got to have all them stripy things on the beach that people can't, that are just basically getting their hair off trying to get the right way around. And then you trap your finger in them and you go
but they've only got one setting, so you're basically reclined on your back or you're just kind of hunkered over it trying
well, you're
to
not doing it right,
your
knees.
Hey.
They've got notches.
Oh,
they've
really?
Got little notches on the back, so you can set them at certain levels. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But if you
okay.
set them at the back one and it's a bit worn,
yeah,
then it'll just go and then you're down on your back, and then you're screaming, and again you're going, my finger's trapped!
Oh, no, it's just terrible. Do you want to hear the worst holiday I ever went on?
Go on.
It was my wife and I, and this is pre-baby,
yeah.
pre-wedding, and we went to Turkey, went to Eludeniz, and rave reviews. The place itself is fine, but we got moved to a different hotel without knowing until we were there. And they said, well, you just have to put up with it. Had ants in the room. We had a gecko that turned up in the room. So I tried to catch it, throw it out the window, but I missed. And there was an ashtray on the bedside table. We don't smoke. There was an ashtray there. Well, I hit that. It smashed on the floor. So I phoned the reception. God, they didn't speak a word of English. So I'm trying to say, there's a gecko in the room. They were like, I don't get it. There's a lizard in the room. No. I've smashed a glass in the room, and it was just no clue whatsoever. Absolutely no clue. It was terrible. The food was rubbish. The pool was rubbish. It was half a building site, and then we couldn't move in the end because they said, "Well, you'll be here for a couple of days. We'll move you on." No, they never did. So
no, they won't. No, they never will. Yeah.
No, and complained to the people we went with, and nothing. We just got an apology.
Was it a last minute deal?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't.
No, we booked it in months in advance, paid it off, and then we get there and they're like, oh no, that
big travel company was it?
Big travel company,
oh,
big
blimey.
Blue one.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And
I'm surprised.
Complained in the shop, and they said, oh, you have to write a letter. So we wrote a letter. Just got a generic apology back.
Oh dear.
Mm,
oh dear.
Terrible.
So you never used the big blue company again then?
Well, we did.
Oh yeah. That lesson learned there. On the
supporting our high street. That's what we did. But we did our mini moon through them. When we got married, we went up to the Peak District and booked that all through them, and that was fine.
Well, you see, staycation. You're
yeah.
right, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah, so there you go.
So the moral of the story is don't go abroad.
Stay in this country. Well, hey, to be fair, as we've talked about, we've got beautiful beaches, lovely scenery. The weather, when it's playing ball, is
great,
phenomenal.
Yeah. yeah.
So
yeah.
why not?
I mean, it sounds like I've never been abroad. I have.
Yeah.
It's America and Spain and... America and Spain.
That's about it.
That's it. France once on a day trip, didn't like
there
it. Went to one of them supermarket booze things.
Oh, yeah.
The smell of cheese was overpowering and I just came back.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, no. France is okay. Paris is beautiful,
Belgium,
but it
bit of Belgium.
Stinks.
Yeah. Paris?
Yeah.
Dog poop, apparently, is the problem in Paris.
Yeah.
They don't clean the streets.
No, they don't. And
my
it
nephew
stinks.
Lived there for a couple of years. He said... he got on fine with the people, he said, but yeah, you just got to watch where you tread.
Yeah. Mm. We nearly got pickpocketed in Paris. Hmm. Walking down the stairs into the metro, where their equivalent yeah. of the tube, and I just looked, and my missus was walking to the left of me. I just kind of looked in the corner of my eye, I could see something. It was someone reaching down for her bag, and they were a couple of steps up. Hmm. And as I turned, they noticed that I was looking, and kind of just pulled away and ran up the stairs again. And I was like, "Get back!" And yeah,
He didn't know what you were saying because he was French.
Exactly. Yeah, they didn't understand.
Mon Dieu!
But France, Paris stinks. It's beautiful. It's stunning. Lovely city. Lovely people. Lovely atmosphere. But it stinks.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
New York's great.
Is it?
I got hooked on New York.
Really?
I went 5 times in a row.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What years in a row? Or
oh yeah, well yeah, years in a row. Yeah. Oh no, I couldn't afford that. Blimey. And I saved up everything I had to be able to do that, but. In fact, my best drunken nights out of my entire life have been in New York.
Really?
Absolutely stunning, yeah. I got to the point in the actual original Coyote Ugly
yeah.
where the girls knew me.
Really? Yeah. You were a regular?
Almost. Could almost say I was a regular, but yeah, they knew
wow.
me, yeah.
Wasn't there a nightclub which was just beds?
Yes, Duvet. Duvet really? Over there was just beds. And even the dance floor was done in a massive memory foam... Well, it must have been multiple pieces of memory foam together, and then there'll be a sheet over the top. So I'm guessing they must have got fed up of that in the end, with drinks spilled on it and all kinds of things.
I was going to say the floor in there must be absolutely horrible.
Well, it was raised, so you to get onto the, and that was the weirdest thing about getting on this dance floor, right?
Yeah.
You had to take your shoes off.
Oh, okay.
And then you stepped up because it would be like 1.5 feet up.
Yeah.
And then trying to dance
yeah.
on something that's foam.
Mm-hmm.
Is really, really hard.
Yeah. I bet it's like trying to walk on a bouncy castle, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just can't get your bearings.
And then instead of having seating areas, you had these double beds,
really?
Which had the poles, you know, like 4-posters.
Yeah.
And they had these huge glass dish come tray things that would sit on the memory foam so you could put your drink in those and it stops them toppling over.
Oh, okay. But obviously, if you're quite inebriated, they tend to, you forget about those bits, don't you?
Well,
and your drink then just goes everywhere.
I can't remember. Well, obviously I was quite inebriated at the time, but I can't remember anybody spilling a drink. But
really?
I went there a couple of times. Duvet was quite cool at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like most things, it got too cool and then they went somewhere else.
Especially in New York, yeah. But New York, London, Paris, you know, the fashion moves so fast, a club can be cool for 6 months in New York and then suddenly everyone's gone somewhere else.
Wow. I suppose with influencers now as well, if they go to another club, that's it. They're the talk of the town.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Wow.
The only club where I suspect that still got that kind of reputation is Marquee.
Okay.
And a friend and I, we got a written email from the promoter, which we took with us. We got in on the guest list to get into Marquee.
Oh, okay.
And this is where like Paris Hilton and Britney Spears used to go drink it.
Right.
And all the supermodels and all of that. And he's still arguing with us until we go, look, there's the email. It's got your name on it.
And
he was
you're not
so reluctant to let us in. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you look like average Joe.
Yeah.
Not Paris Hilton on your
exactly.
arm.
Exactly. Got in there and there was no real dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
It was just lots of tables. And it was champagne buckets full of ice with bottles of Grey Goose in them. And they were charging $400 a bottle.
Wow.
All right. With like 6 seats around each of these little tables.
Yeah. So you could sit in there for free?
No, because this was the thing, right? And we watched. Thankfully, we watched. The moment your buttocks landed on that seat,
yeah,
a waitress would turn up. She'd open the bottle and pour it.
So you're stuck then.
Yeah, all the liggers would suddenly turn up. All these girls, all these wannabe models would suddenly turn up. We watched a couple of guys, you know, go, yeah, we'll have a bottle, yeah. Next thing you know, all these girls are there, and they're pouring drinks for these girls, and it's fantastic. The bottle is empty in 10 minutes. The girls are gone to the next table.
Wow.
And those two lads are just looking at each other going, well, I suppose we can afford it.
Oh, God.
And it was a horrible, horrible, horrible place to watch just people who were so up themselves. We're here in, you know, the hottest club in the hottest city and all that, and they're just freeloading off everybody.
Wow.
And it only had one toilet.
Really?
One downstairs.
Oh, gross.
One cubicle downstairs and one cubicle upstairs.
Oh, that's minging.
All the clubs are like that in Bars in New York. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Minimum health requirement.
Well, I suppose,
different to over here.
Very different.
But yeah, you can imagine the queue.
you'd spend half the night queuing to get in, and then you suddenly go, oh, mate, I need a wee. And then you'd queue for the rest of the half of the night to try and get to the toilet.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Oh, festivals, you get better treatment.
You do, actually. Speaking of which, probably one of the future ones we'll talk about will be our festival experiences. That was the Sunshine Podcast number 4, where Ollie and I started talking about football, ended up on holidays, and then in Marquee Nightclub in New York. That was
very
random.
Very eclectic.
Yeah.